Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. All right, so a lot of stuff going on today with the with the World Cup and the Team USA playing tonight. Still waiting a word on whether or not the appeal of the appeal is upheld or successful or whatever. Here's what I know. We got ourselves a full-blown World Cup international soccer controversy, and we're right in the middle of it. Who in a million years would have predicted this? Gator has gotten into the World Cup, which I'm excited about. I'm very excited about it. And, hey, we're underdog tonight. Regardless of who's playing or not playing for us, we'll be the underdog if we have Balogun or not. And, you know, this is where it feels like Team USA typically peters out. I can't remember what year. We might have won one of these round of 16 games before. I think we did.
I think they beat Mexico one year.
Yeah, and advanced to the final eight in a game that was played at like 4 a.m. and I had people over. My first ever man cave was set up this thing in a basement, and I had people over at 4 a.m. watching World Cup soccer. This one, we won't have to stay up that late or get up that early. I guess it depends on how you approach it. But we'll see what happens tonight.
You got family and friends coming over tonight?
So, no, we just got back from up north, and, you know, there's a lot to get done in short period of time. You know, got a kid's birthday coming up, got another trip to plant. Like, it's a mess. So I don't.
But you got
to
hire a clown or something?
No. But 21st birthdays can be challenging.
Oh, it's always fun.
Let's just say that. In the meantime, we got a Tiger team that's getting a ton of feedback. So we took this one text at the end of last hour. There isn't a single thing that could take place before the deadline that would prevent me from trading Scooble for the best deal offered. That's one text. Two texts later, I don't understand the trade Scooble no matter what crowd. If we stay this hot offensively with the depth we have at pitching, then what the hell is the difference between keeping Scooble and not getting potential prospects back? And in the past years, where fans wanted to give away actual prospects for a rental to, quote, go for it. If we're in striking distance, then keeping Scooble is essentially the exact same thing as making a huge trade at the past deadlines. Going for it. It's kind of an interesting way to look at things. Screaming go for it. Keeping Scooble is more going for it than trading Scooble.
Well, obviously, yeah.
I mean,
because you would, but I want to trade him because you're dealing from a position of strength, and you could add to your team, which is the weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So, perhaps making the team better. Can they be better if they trade Scooble? They could, depending what you get back. I mean, if you're just looking to get prospects back, guys that aren't going to make the team right now. If you're going to look to trade him to the Dodgers from. You know, for the crushes I have in the Dodger prospects right now, those guys aren't going to contribute this year. But I can still move minor league prospects that the Tigers have right now to other teams to acquire players that will help this team now, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think buying is way more in play than fans realize. I think buying, and I'm not saying I would do it, but you start thinking about all of the people that want bullpen arms. Your idea of if you could move Scooble for young, controllable bullpen arms, like good ones, that could come in here and, okay, you remove the best starting pitcher in the game, but my God, they've gotten great starting pitching. And the other, if you want to make a case, if you want to, for why it's worthwhile going for it, great starting pitching in a short series can win it. It can. If you have great starting pitching, now you remove Scooble from the equation, you don't have as great starting pitching. But if you get immediate assets that help you win and win now, I don't know, man. There's so many different tentacles and directions you can go here.
Scooble's the piece you had that gets you outstanding prospects.
Mm-hmm.
The minor league players you have now are the players that are the ones that get you the bullpen arms. Scooble's not going to get you a bullpen arm. I would be disappointed if they're trading Scooble for bullpen arms.
Well, not just that, but yeah. You get the, you know what does this team need most right now?
bullpen arms and right-handed hitting.
If you get
hitters that can hit left-handed pitch.
I mean, if you trade Scooble, you're also probably cutting into your bullpen because one of your, like Montero, then becomes a full-time starter and he's been, you know.
Deserving it. Yeah. So.
Oh, they're just as confusing a team as we've had here in a long time. I think every fan base thinks their team's a little inconsistent and, oh, we get hot and cold. Well, that's kind of the sport of baseball. I think an actual baseball analysis of this 2026 Detroit Tigers, where you sit down and look at every team in the history of the game and talk about the most inconsistent, confusing groups ever, this one might rank number one. With points of comparison to teams historically over time, where you can say, well, there were the 74 Giants, the 89 Houston Astros, and I'm just making teams up here, the Milwaukee Braves of 1964, whatever they are, the most confusing, confounding, frustrating, unpredictable group that has ever walked the earth.
Well, I mean, it's
chalked out of sports talk radio overstatements, but you get the point.
Yeah, I mean, they're a frustrating team this year. We've seen frustrating teams. The Red Wings for the last 3-4 years have been incredibly frustrating when they just nosedive when the month of March comes around. We're kind of getting used to it, and I don't want to get used to it. I want to break the cycle as quickly as you can. But it is what it is right now. I think another piece to this team that you really have to keep an eye over the next couple weeks is Gleyber Torres. Does he get healthy enough to play? And if he does, is he going to have enough games under his belt where he's tradable? Because he's a pretty good commodity to have in a trade market because he's a free agent at the end of the season. He'd be a rental player, but that's a guy that gets you a bullpen arm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Torres he's been very integral to this team when they win games. Now they're starting to win games without him, which they weren't able to do in May. But they've done without him for a while here, and they're starting to put some stuff together. So, you know, if you're hoping for the best Tiger team moving forward, the best Tiger team moving forward doesn't trade away Scooble. It doesn't trade away Torres. You're trading minor leaguers to add. That's the best team you have. But it's not necessarily what's best for the franchise.
Well, the best trades are ones that you make where you have a commodity that others want and covet, but you have his replacement in-house. And it's early to say Haoyu Lee could replace Torres. Haoyu Lee's done some good stuff now. And Haoyu Lee, that would be awesome development if Haoyu Lee could keep playing the way he played for most of June and into July here. And so that the bite of losing Torres wouldn't sting as much, right?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, it's an early call, but those are the best trades. And when you can trade a valued commodity and have the in-house replacement ready to go and, you know, you get assets elsewhere.
How really is a guy who just steps at the plate and when he hits, they're loud. Mm-hmm. They're loud hits. In June, he hit .352 for the month of June with an .894 OPS. He's only had 7 at-bats here in July, and he's just got the one hit, but it's a home run. He's also drawn a walk. So his OPS is .821, even though it's only the one hit. It's a very small sample size. But I'd like his approach at the plate. The guy seems fearless. He swings for the fences a lot, mm-hmm. but it's not a crazy out-of-control swing. It's not like this wild uppercut. He's fun to watch there. And he also had a hell of an at-bat. Was it the beginning of the series? Or was it against the Yankees? I forget which game it was. But he and Torkelson, I think, were back-to-back and drew the walks, and they were both great at bats and contributed to why they were able to come back and win a game.
248-539-9797. We'll get to more of your phone calls and feedback and Champ and Joe votes coming up. All right. Hey, look, this is a true story. My family, we've broken 2 garage doors in 3 days. We had a power outage.
I'm sorry, you don't mean to laugh.
We had a power outage up north. And I tried to disengage the garage door and managed to break the thing and to open it manually. And then I remember my family backed into a garage door at home today. We're an absolute mess. But thank God for the pros at M&M Garage Doors, located right here in Michigan since 2011. Here's the thing. I've already said to them, your customer service is outstanding. And I actually asked this weekend when I broke the garage door up north, hey, is your customer service this good for everyone? And the answer I got back is that's what we pride ourselves on. That's why they're hiring more people. That's why they're into same day fixes. And God knows I'll probably need them Wednesday this week too, the way this week is going. So if you need a garage door repair, I cannot emphasize enough how grateful I am for the folks at M&M Garage Door. 844 only door, or visit garagedoorrightnow.com. M&M Garage Doors, you need a new door, you need a repair, you need a complete tune-up for $59. Call M&M Garage Doors. 844 only door, or visit garagedoorrightnow.com. M&M Garage Doors, open your door to exceptional customer service. License 210-220-6147. To 97.1 open lines 248-539-9797. Let's go to White Lake, and Jay, you're next. What's up, Jay?
Hey, fellas, how are you?
Okay.
I got a champ and chump, but before I get there, Gator, I got a quick question for you, and I it's only because I think I've heard you mention a few times you liked it as far as all the spinoffs. Were you able to squeeze in the season finale at Dutton Ranch this weekend?
I actually watched it last night. Yes.
What did you think? I was blown away, man.
Are there spoilers here? Or do we?
I'm not
giving
any spoilers. So it's a 9-episode.
I won't say anything.
Yeah, no, it's a 9-episode season, and I enjoyed it. I thought it moved pretty well. I think there's a shelf life for all these spinoffs. Yeah. I think there's a shelf life. At some point, you're like, all right, enough, you know. But I did like the finale last night and what it sets up for season 2.
Yeah, that show I enjoy. The other ones I'm not a fan of. But champ and chump. My champ has got to be the Tigers. Just the whole team all weekend long. They were so fun to watch. You know, Flaherty was just dealing on the fourth. And then that Riley Green catch last night. Like, when I was a kid, there was a toy called Plastic Man, and you could like stretch his arms and his legs and everything, like he was made out of rubber.
Yeah.
And I that catch totally reminded me of that thing when I was a kid. My chump, I can't pinpoint one part of it, but I'm just really disappointed in how all this FIFA stuff was handled from start to finish. And I really hope that whatever the outcome is,
if we win
the game, I really hope that the main story isn't going to be some kind of thumb on the scale thing. You know what I mean?
Well, let's start with this. There is breaking news. Adam Crafton of The Athletic is just tweeted out, FIFA appeal committee has rendered request by Belgian FA as inadmissible, as Belgian not a party to the proceedings and as such has no standing to appeal the decision, which means according to FIFA, Balogun can play tonight.
Whoa.
Yes. I think there has been Jay, there's two things here, and I chumped the FIFA, the media that covers soccer that we're relying on, and I do this a little bit tongue in cheek. Maybe the rest of the world gets it a little bit more, but we rely heavily on the soccer media, which there's probably a shortage of in the United States, to explain to us procedures when it comes to this. And after being told there was no procedure with which you could appeal, turns out there was. And being told that there never has a red card been overturned before. Yes, they have. And so, you know, the coverage of this has been a little bit misleading, but the rest of the world's pissed. And every red card from here on out is going to be appealed. The Athletic did a great job of pointing out what our appeal is based on. And, you know, it sounds like there's merit to using slow motion and still shots in the video assisted referee. And you're not supposed to do that because you could still shot or slow-mo anything and make it look worse than it is. And once you do that, does it influence the rendering of the red card? I don't know. But if that's a procedure that can be valid, and remember, VAR has only been around for a decade, which means this is probably, 2026, 2020. This is only a third World Cup that there's been VAR. It's been, you know, played at the pro level, but so there's not a lot of history with this. But still, I mean, whether or not there was a thumb on the scale, as you put it, or not, you know, as we said earlier, probably anybody else who was calling FIFA and not just letting USA Soccer handle it is probably adding to that perception. And according to FIFA, like Trump's talking about it, but there are, the guy in charge of FIFA said, I take calls from world leaders and business leaders all the time. Who else is calling him on this? And maybe he shouldn't be taking said calls. Might be a bad idea. 248-539-9797. Anyway, you know, let's hope that this is the end of it. But I
sounds like it's the end of it.
Well, I mean, it's the end of the ruling. But if we win the game tonight and Balogun does anything, I'm sure there's going to be international screaming. And look, it's not our sport, and we're not deeply invested in the culture. And I'm not sure that they're right or wrong. All the people screaming. I mean, it'd be like, think about somebody in Belgium yelling about a call in an NFL game.
Right. I mean, I was thinking about the game last night, you know, with England beating Mexico. The game was in Mexico, right? And when England lost their player to a red card in the second half, I would imagine there were a lot of people from England saying, wait a minute, how do you rule that way? Of course you're doing that because you're trying to fix the game so that Mexico has a chance because you don't want them to lose
in their home turf. Let's go to Al next. Hello, Al.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
What's up?
You know, you've talked pretty much all year about the old and Scooble and getting rid of him and what we can get for him. I guess I have to commend the Tiger management that they went out and got Fromber. They went out and they got Verlander. Our pitching staff, you know, if everybody was healthy, Job and the other guys healthy, I think that they had thought that this was the year that they were going to try to make it to the World Series. We loaded up on great pitching. Last year, our bats came alive at the end of the season, and they're going, this is it, fellas. Let's get some pitching, and let's do this thing. Unfortunately, it hasn't worked out that way, but I have to give them kudos.
Well,
for the moves that they made.
Look, some of the stuff in there, I'm not sure is 100% accurate, but I will say this, Al. They added like $80 million in payroll. And sort of the Fromber signing has not been great, given that he's like at the worst ERA out of their starters. And Kenley Jansen finally had a clean inning for the first time in, what is it, six outings, I think. Last night was the first time he had a 1-2-3 inning in six outings. These were big money contracts that in the reality haven't really paid dividends, but it
Verlander.
Does. But Verlander was an emergency break glass with the Job and Reese Olson injuries, but Verlander hasn't paid dividends.
Yep.
Some of their big ticket items haven't paid off, but it's made me bristle a little bit of people saying that this team won't spend. They have the highest payroll in team history. You might not like who they spent it on, and that's valid the way it's gone this year. They have spent.
Well, they have, and they likely
sign somebody,
will again.
Sign somebody. Not him.
Well, the other thing about it is this. Everybody's bitching about Iserman and the Red Wings, and he's not making a move. He's never pulling the trigger. They're saying about the Detroit Lions, man, why haven't they brought in someone to help, a big name? Give kudos where kudos are due. The Tigers are at least trying. They're making big moves.
They have tried.
They're working out.
They have tried. Now, let me be clear here. It doesn't mean they're void of being criticism. The criticism is still valid. Hey, this team is where it is. This is not good. The criticism is maybe the players they signed and how they're getting used. Harris and Hinch, valid questions are being asked of the jobs that they are doing. And they should be. And I think A.J. Hinch, in my estimation so far this year, A.J. Hinch, who I think very highly of as a manager, he had to win me over and he has. But I think very highly of as a manager, he's taken a bit of a step back this year. And Scott Harris, there's some good, but there's also some bad. That's part of the permanent record. Scott Harris's entire tenure as a Detroit executive probably comes down to handling the Scooble situation correctly. It really does. Because if you keep him, fizzle out, and only get the compensatory pick for him, disaster. Keep him, make a postseason run, okay. Trade him. For nothing, disaster. Trade him for a wealth of riches, okay then.
Well, I mean, it's wild that there are three teams that are contemplating monster moves, right? You got the Tigers with Scooble, Red Wings with Dylan Larkin, Pistons and Jalen Duren. These are all potentially franchise-changing moves. And the GMs have to get it right. you know, for Steve Yzerman, it seems like he's really on the hot seat and deservedly so. He's got to get this right. So be as patient as you have to be. And I imagine that the offers are only going to get better. The list is only going to have to increase. There's no way that Larkin can keep that list to three teams. And by some reporting, he's has expanded that list. We'll see where the list eventually gets expanded to when he's eventually moved. If he's moved, and I think it's quite likely he's moved. I think you think it's quite likely he's moved too, but leave open some percentage that maybe not. But they got to get it right. Yzerman has to get it right. With Scoobal, feeling it's a similar thing. Like, if you're not going to trade Scoobal, then you better damn well know that you're making the playoffs, and you got to get to the ALCS.
You kind of got to make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, you got to get to the ALCS this year if you're going to hang on to him.
Story's not done on both AJ and Scott Harris. Both so far this year, though, have taken steps backward in my estimation. Even though, you know, I mean, McGonagall is
it's huge.
It was a great draft pick, compensatory pick in between the first and second round. In the first three picks that were Max Clark, I'm pretty sure Max Clark, Kevin McGonagall, Max Anderson.
Yes, I believe that was the order.
Which, you know, the two Maxes could be here helping next year.
Well, I think it's exciting that the three all-stars the Tigers are offering up here are all homegrown players. Mm-hmm. Drafted, developed, and now here they are, all-stars.
Carson Anderson, 97.1. Get back to your open line calls here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. We go to Richard in Columbiaville. You are next. Hello, Richard.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, beautiful day, too. I got a question. Well, first, the champ is definitely the Tiger road trip. That was the best I've seen in a long time for them, especially defensively and pitching. And Chump, I can't believe all these games are on mainstream. Couldn't even see, or streaming, you couldn't see it on regular TV.
You're talking about Tiger games?
Yep.
Well, we have a Peacock game over the weekend, wasn't there one?
Yesterday was a Peacock game.
All Peacock.
Yep.
And one NBC game.
No, over the weekend, you can watch them on the Tigers, whatever that.
DSN?
Yeah.
No, I meant yesterday.
Right, just yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. Yeah. That was the only one that was.
Yep. It's sad. And the other thing is, hey, when is Dylan Dingler contract coming up? Because they ought to sign him, too.
Good question. I haven't looked at Dylan Dingler's contract. Right. He's under cloak control for a while here, right?
I believe so, yeah. He is a free agent after the 2031 season. They got him for a while.
That's a bit. I like that. I mean, they could sign him early.
Sure.
They've kind of been their pattern.
I'm guessing they won't.
Not just, this early.
Yeah. Well, I'm just because he's, if you've got him under control for what amounts to four more years after this year.
Yeah.
And he is 27 already. You know, once catchers hit north of 31, things really start to go downhill for them. So, ride it out.
Let's go to David in Clinton Township. You're next on 97.1. Hello, David.
Hey, so I originally called to talk about soccer, but I'm coming to the Lions. Okay, if I call an audible?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
So, you had mentioned something about Scott Harris and how what happens with Scoobal is going to be his thing. How about a great analogy between him and – because the reason he's there is because Avila screwed up getting rid of Verlander.
I mean, if you look at the purges –
the only thing we have on that is Kenny Rogers. Or not Kenny Rogers. Oh, my God.
Jake Rogers. Yeah, and Jake Rogers, we've documented how his struggles – he's just been getting worse and worse offensively. David, there's no question that this feels like the inflection point that really is going to determine what direction the Scott Harris – tenure in Detroit takes, because he can either cash in the chip or not cash in the chip. But there's a couple things he can't do. He can't not cash in the chip and have them fizzle, and he can't cash in the chip for nothing substance back. I suppose he could if he built a winner anyway, but the best way to do that if you are going to cash in the chip is, as I said, wealth of riches.
Right. Yeah. If he screws this up, I think he should get the same fate as Avila.
Yeah, I mean, and he very well may. I mean, the only way if he screws it up and still manages to build a winner, that tells me that he has done an exceptionally great to elite job of drafting.
Yeah.
Well, they made the playoffs the last 2 years on teams I don't think anybody thought they would. He's only been on the job for, what, three? He's got three drafts under his belt, about to be a fourth. So I just, Scott Harris has done a pretty good job. Now, it doesn't mean that he's unfireable. I think he obviously has more that he has to prove. Like to see this team get over the hump.
This isn't a great year for him.
No, this is, they've got other things they have to do here.
So, real quick question. So, for like the last 3 years, we've devastated our pitching staff. Does the pitching coach have to take any responsibility for this? Is something going on?
What do you mean? Hold on. What do you mean by they've devastated their pitching staff?
Even when we made that run 2 years ago, when the Tigers made that run 2 years ago, pitching chaos. And even last year, and then this year, we've lost, how many pitchers? Our starting rotation isn't what it was supposed to be for like the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay, so you're talking about injury-wise.
Correct.
I'm not sure it has anything to do with him.
If Chris Fetter had any culpability, he'd probably already be gone. But the one thing I always say when people want to fire hitting coaches and pitching coaches, honestly, it's one of the easiest things that's correctable. Like, you can't fire a player that's under contract. You can't fire Framber and just go get a better player just like that in the middle of a season. You can fire coaches pretty easily, and your organization has a bunch of guys that you've trusted enough to employ at lower levels. So if there is culpability there, I would tend to think that you would absolutely make a move. I would also tend to think, because it is one of the easier things to do, is to fire a pitching coach or a hitting coach, that if there was culpability there, he'd be fired.
It just seems odd that for like 3 or 4 years in a row, we've had this problem with the pitching staff always getting hurt. I mean, even going back to the last guy through the no-hitter, Redhead.
Spencer Turnbull.
Wow. Yes. It just seems that every year there's like 3 or 4 pitchers that go down for a year and a half.
I will tell you this. The previous regime, I talked to some people, because there's delivery mechanics that lead to more predictable injuries. And I was told that the Tigers really didn't pay attention to that for a bit.
I think if you look at most pitching staffs, they're dealing with injuries. Do the Tigers have more than others? I don't know. I think as a whole, injuries for the entire team, the Tigers seem to be suffering from that more than other teams have. But as far as just the starting pitching staff, I don't know if I would. And certainly, I don't think I'd say that necessarily this year. They started that way, but now they're kind of hitting their stride here. They got their guys going. Scoble's healthy. Mize is healthy. Jack Flaherty's healthy. Kader Montero's giving them great innings. You got Troy Melton has been great. Framber Valdez has been healthy all season long. Now, Verlander wasn't, for sure. And they've had some issues, certainly with Cobb last year.
Let's go to Al in Southfield. You're next. What's up, Al?
Hi, Doug and Scott. I like to talk about the Torres possibly being trying. I'm kind of agreeing with what Scott said, because I'm thinking, with Hwang-Yu Lee, he's doing quite well. I mean, I've been impressed with him, watching defensive and offensive. I was looking at some of his stats before I called, and they look very good. And I feel comfortable with the idea of trading Torres and maybe we get some bullpen help, considering that Vestas been struggling before he got hurt, and Jensen's been like a roller coaster.
Well, I think they'd feel very comfortable trading Gleyber Torres if he were healthy enough to trade. Right now, he's not. And that's why he needs to get healthy and show that he can. Hopefully it's a couple weeks worth of playing time before the trade deadline comes. He's a free agent at the end of the year. So he's another one of those guys that you really kind of have to move. Now, maybe he doesn't have any value. Maybe you're putting the word out, we're willing to move him for a bullpen arm, and no bullpen arm is worth taking on. If that's the case, then whatever. I guess you hang on to him. But Scooble's a different story.
And don't, in Casey Mize is untouchable. I want to see him give him a contract extension.
I've been talking about this for weeks. I think it's of utmost importance that they bring back Casey Mize. They have one starting pitcher that it feels like there is almost zero chance that they will be able to re-sign. You've got another one that's a free agent that doesn't feel like there's zero chance they could re-sign him. So, keep the one that you know you could keep and put together a Framber-like deal. Length, maybe not quite that money, but if you got to extend it a little bit to make it worth his while. But I got to tell you, the losing both Mize and Scooble feels to me like you're starting down the road of a rebuild. So if you can bring Mize back, please do. Please do. Rico Beard's here. What's up, man?
Well, I actually said that yesterday to somebody. I'd bring Mize back. I'd get as much as I can for Scooble. Mm-hmm. I'd roll the dice on this year. Next year may not happen. We see you guys in 2 years.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. I think we have to have a deep conversation because we haven't done it that much about the next year might not happening and how much that influences. Does it make you want to go for it more this year?
Does
or,
for me.
Or peel back and just say,
I guess like
prepare for the next.
It's like the players are just going to sit there at the table saying we're not going to eat our vegetables. And the owners are like, yeah, you will, but you're not leaving.
What do you guys got planned coming up next?
We're going to talk about the Friedman audio that we have, plus some World Cup, some, you know, big game tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't feel as comfortable because of a certain host on this station gave a lock.
Oh, God. Have a great show. Stay safe, everybody, and treat each other with respect. Carson Anderson, 97.1.